Exodus chapter 18, visiting relatives. This morning, we had Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus, visiting Elizabeth. And tonight, we have Jethro, or Reuel, and Hobab, visiting Moses. I mentioned this morning that relatives are of a threefold kind. They're blood relatives, they are spiritual relatives, and then there are in-laws. And the relatives that are visiting tonight are in-laws, because Jethro was Moses' father-in-law, and Hobab was Moses' brother-in-law. And they both pay a visit to their brother-in-law and son-in-law, Moses. So that's why, when you young folks read those verses, they did not mean much to you, because you couldn't understand what it was all about. But it was about the in-laws of Moses. Perhaps I should tell you this, that if things had gone according to the ways of the world, Moses would have married some Egyptian princess and been an exalted dignitary in the land of Egypt. But what happened was this. He knew that his father and mother were Amram and Jochebed, and that he was a Jew. And one day, he saw an Egyptian harming an Israelite, one of his countrymen, one of his kinsmen. And he looked this way and that way, and he thought no one was looking, and he slew the Egyptian. But what happened was that somebody was looking. What happened is he looked this way and that way, but he didn't look that way, like one man said, and somebody was up in a tree and saw him. But he was detected as killing this Egyptian. And when Pharaoh heard about it, he sought to destroy Moses. And so Moses had to run for his life, and he went into the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. And as he was sitting there, seven maidens came to water their father's sheep. But there were bullied men, of course, that would not let them water their father's sheep. And so Moses assisted them and watered the sheep for them, and they came home early. And when they came home early, their father Jethro said, "How is it that you're home so early today?" And they said that there was a man who assisted us, and we were able to water our sheep, and we're home early. And the father said, "Well, why did you leave the man there? Why did you not bring him home?" And so they went and brought Moses home, and there were seven daughters, and Jethro said, "I'm going to give you my daughter Zipporah to be your wife." And so Moses married Zipporah, and he stayed there for 40 years. How old was Moses when he got married? He was 40 years old, and he stayed there 40 years, and then at the age of 80, God said, "I'm going to use you to deliver my children, Israel, out of bondage in Egypt." So this is the background. But what happens is this, the strange verse that was read, and it's just as well for me to tell you this, the strange verse that was read, and let's look at it though. Look at Exodus chapter 4. So often we are taken up with the love of God, and we forget about the righteous demands of God. And beginning with Abraham, the Lord had said, "You are to circumcise all the males when they're 8 days old." And this was a command. And if there were no obedience to that command, then the penalty was severe. It was death. And so let's see what Moses did. Remember now, he's not married to an Israelite, but he's married to a Midianite. He's married to the daughter of a priest of a foreign land. So, in chapter 4, look at verse 24. And it came to pass in the way at the lodging place that the Lord met Moses and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off the foreskin of her son, who was circumcised, and cast it at his feet, Moses' feet. And she said, surely a bridegroom of blood art thou to me. So he, God, let him alone. Then she said, a bridegroom of blood art thou, because of the circumcision. Strange things, but most important. I may get back to that, and then again, I may not. So, let's look at chapter 18 now. You know a little bit about these relatives, Moses' in-laws. His father-in-law is priest of Midian. Now, this 18th chapter has a lot of verses. Let's see if you can pay attention as I bring most of them. Verse 1, Exodus 18:1. Now, Jethro, we'll take it that Jethro and Reuel are the same one, and let me tell you this because it's interesting. Reuel means the friend of God, Jethro means the abundant one or the preeminent one, and Hobab means love. It would be good to have a name. Love comes. And that was Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law's name. And so it says that Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, how that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her away, and her two sons, of whom the name of the one was Gershom. For he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land, and the name of the other was Eliezer, for he said, the God of my father was my help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses, in the wilderness where he was encamped, at the Mount of God, that Mount Horeb. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee. So here is a visiting of relatives. I come unto thee, and thy wife, and her two sons, with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare. And they came into the tent. And then Moses tells his father-in-law about all that God had done, and verse 11, and when he tells Jethro this, Jethro says, now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, yea, in the thing wherein they dealt proudly against them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. That's the first part. Now, you'll find that Jethro is a help to Moses in one way, and Hobab, his brother-in-law, is a help to Moses in another way. Let's see what they are. Verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand about thee, from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they come unto me. And I judge between a man and his neighbor, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for the thing is too heavy for thee. You are not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, and bring thou the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them the statutes and the laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating unjust gain, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge themselves. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people also shall go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he said. And he chooses the people out, and sets up the arrangement that his father-in-law suggested. Verse 27, and Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Now, let's read again in Numbers 10 about Hobab, a son named Lub. Hobab. Verse 29, and Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are sojourning unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land, and to my kindred. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou shalt be to us instead of eyes, and it shall be that thou go with us. Yea, it shall be that what good soever the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. And if you read in Judges 1 and Judges 4, you will see that he changed his mind and went with him. Now, let's speak to God again in prayer. Father, we thank you for all the experiences of life that we have with our relatives. Our God, to think that you would put ordinary things like these in the Bible, and yet when we think of it, what is of more important than ordinary things done the way that you would have us to do them? Let us remember that. We think of great things, Father, religious things, spiritual things. But thou dost tell us very simple things, what to do and how to do them. We thank you for that. Let us understand that that is the thing that life is made of. An obedience to God in a way that seemingly is unimportant. Servants, be in subjection to your masters. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, simply doing a good job for those that employ us, and children honoring their father and mother, obeying them. We pray, our Father, that we shall learn these things. So teach us from what we've read tonight. Be thankful for the blessings of the day, and we look to thee for good this evening. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, the bad thing is this. The wife that Moses was given by Jethro, his father-in-law. But what did you do? Your life is being sought by Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and you're in a foreign land, and you're all alone, and now Jethro, the high priest of Midian, had seven daughters, and Moses looked at these daughters, and evidently one of the daughters looked at him, and Jethro says, I will give you my daughter, Zipporah. And from what we read about Zipporah, she was not a good wife in the least when it came to the things that were of importance in the heart of Moses. For this reason, Here is a woman who bears his children. But when it comes to carrying out the religious instruction that Moses wants to give his children, the requirements of God for his children, she is vehemently opposed to them. It may well be that Gershom had been circumcised, but because of the protestations of Zipporah, Moses refrained from circumcising Eleazar. But God is not going to let that man get away with this act of disobedience. You say, why? Think now. If Moses is to lead the entire nation of Israel out of Egypt and to be their leader, if he is not able to enforce the law of God upon even his own children, how is he going to enforce the law of God upon over 1 million people? And God says, this is not going to be. And it's a strange passage, but it's sad because Moses had refrained from doing this. God led him in the way, and he sought to kill him. And Zipporah knew just why God was attacking the husband Moses. And so immediately she goes and takes an instrument and circumcises her child. But when she does it, it is repugnant to her. She says, a husband of blood art thou unto me. A husband of blood art thou unto me. To think that to retain you as my husband, I have to do this bloody act. And so that is what she thought of the will of God and the demands that God had placed upon her husband, Moses. Now, then that happened. And all of these things, I'm just telling you in brief, you'll find that Moses sent her back. She sent back to Jethro, her father-in-law. And that is where we take up the Torah being introduced to us again in Exodus chapter 18. Because Moses is gone and wrought all the signs upon the nation of Egypt. And now Egypt has freed Israel from their slavery, and they've come to Mount Horeb. And Jethro, or Reuel, has heard of the good hand of God upon the children of Israel, and so he goes to meet Moses. And for better or for worse, he says at this visit, when the father-in-law Jethro visits his son-in-law Moses, he says, I brought back your wife Zipporah and her two children. Now, it may be a good thing, or it may be a sad thing to Moses. I say that because I know that later along the journey, Moses looked upon another woman, and he married this woman, and Aaron and Miriam, his brother and sister, were opposed to that marriage, and God had to deal with them. So here are Zipporah and his two sons brought back to him by the father-in-law, and now we have all the niceties of a father-in-law and his son meeting together for a brief period of time. What is good is this. I told you that when we come together, we're supposed to have things to tell one another, to help one another. And when Jethro came, he said, son, tell me of your welfare. What has been happening to you? And then Moses told him about all the good hand of God upon him and all the difficulties he had had along the way. And when Jethro, his father-in-law, heard of the goodness of God to him, he rejoiced. Now, that's a fine thing. When a father-in-law looks upon his son-in-law and he's proud of him and he knows that God's hand is upon him and he's working with him. And so Jethro's heart rejoiced, and he was so glad about it that he said, what I'm going to do is to offer sacrifices to God, and we're going to have a religious ceremony in the presence of God. And please notice, his name is Reuel, and El is the name of the God of Israel, one of his designations. Reuel means the friend of God, and so it's not a heathen priest, but just as Melchizedek was priest of God Most High, so Reuel was also a priest in the land of Midian, but he is also a friend of God. He is a priest of God. And he has a knowledge of God. not the fullness of the knowledge of this God that Moses and the children of Israel later are to have, but he has the knowledge of God, and because of that, he and his son-in-law are able to fellowship one with another. Now I'm thinking this. Here are two that are worshiping the same God, but Reuel does not know, as Moses is going to know, how to worship God, and yet he's sacrificing to God. And even though he knows God imperfectly, God accepts his fellowship with Moses, who knows God more perfectly. And this happens so often when sons are married and the parents are of a denomination, but it's a denomination that believes in salvation through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know nothing about gatherings of the name of the Lord, but they know the one true God in Jesus Christ whom he sent. And so what God is telling us here is that we can have fellowship with them. It does not mean that we have to change our ways and take a step backward, but we can fellowship with them, hoping that they shall see the goodness of God and shall continue with us, make an advance in the knowledge of God. But it is not so in this case, because it is so sad. It says that after this brief meeting, it says that Reuel returned unto his own people, his own land. That's a sad thing. And another sad thing is this, that when Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, meets him, and Moses tells him the good things that God intends to do with the nation of Israel, and he says to him, come with us, and we will do thee good. All that God is going to do for us, you may enter into it, and our good shall be your good. And Hobab says this, I will not go. He said, I'm returning to my own land, and I'm returning to my own kindred. How sad. But I rejoice that Moses made the appeal again in a similar but in a different way. And even though we do not have the response of Hobab, in Judges 1 and 4, you'll see that he did go along. All right. Let me put this before you, first of all. The reason that Hobab is invited to go along is that he shall be their eyes along the way in their trip through the desert. So he is going to be their geographical guide, whereas Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, looks over the situation that exists between Moses and the people, and he is going to be their practical guide. In a moment, he sees that Moses is doing everything in a wrong way. And he says, I have this advice for you. And so Jethro is the practical guide, a father-in-law that can give you practical tips on how to judge the people, how to function in a more efficient way in the position that you have among the people of God. Remember that. You think that you could ever learn anything from the Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian? Well, of course you can. They are way ahead of us in many respects, but more of that in a moment. But here is Jethro, and in the short time that he visits with Moses, the first thing that he notices is this, that Moses, from morning to night, sits before the people, and the people come to him. Now think, if you have over 1 million people, and you are the only judge that can deal with all the problems that arise, when would you ever get any rest? You say you never would. And yet it had never dawned upon Moses to go and get people to assist him. But Jethro sees it immediately. Now someone will cry out, and they've done this before, don't you understand that it's all wrong, because this isn't the instruction of God. It's the instruction of a man who isn't even a priest like Melchizedek or a priest like Aaron is going to be, but he's a priest of the land of Midian, and we do not know if God wants us to do things that way. I praise God for Jethro for this reason. When he tells Moses what to do, he says, now do it if God tells you so. A man cannot be all bad when he tells you what to do, but then he puts in these words, if God tells you to. He's not saying, I insist that you do this, but you think over what I told you. And if, while you're thinking it over and you're talking it over with God, if God tells you to do it, then you do it. Because if you do not do it, you are going to be worn down to nothing. And the people are going to wear away, and there could easily be a rebellion. Suppose there were 100 people one day waiting to be dealt with by Moses, and you were the 100th. And Moses were able to get through 25 of the people. And then the next day, another 100 comes. It would go on, and Moses would have no time for anything except listening to all the problems of the people. And his father sees that. And so Moses says, yes, that is a good idea. And what he learned in the first instance through Jethro, his father-in-law, he learned by experience in the second instance in Numbers chapter 11. He said, the burden is too great. I cannot do it alone. And so God said, then I will give you 70 others to assist you. And so for all that try to do everything and they do not realize about placing responsibility upon others, then learn from what Jethro suggested if God tells you to do it. And evidently God did, because Moses followed his instructions. And learn also from Numbers chapter 11 that you're not able to do everything yourself, but you need assistance. It's possible. God can enable a man to do that. But let me ask you this. Did Christ spread his gospel by himself? You say, why? I know he chose 12 apostles, yes, and you'll find in Luke chapter 10 that he chose 70 others as well. And this comes to mind, it's so interesting that when they came along the way to a certain spot, there were 12 wells and 70 palm trees. So here is Moses, and he learns practical things from his father-in-law. So it may very well be that some of the things that the denominations teach are not wrong, but they are wisdom, and God is telling you what to do, not from the scripture itself, but at this time through Jethro, the father-in-law. And it may well be that you look at a church that is running smoothly, and you look at it, and now what we do is this. We see what they are doing, and we go back and search the scriptures, and we say, why, of course, that's what's set forth in the Word of God. And so remember that many times worldlings can see things quicker than you can and tell you that you're doing wrong. Our Savior says in Luke 16, the children of this age are wiser for their own generation than the children of light. So listen to what men tell you, the way that the Bereans listened to Paul, and they listened, and they went home and searched the scriptures daily for the things were so. And so any practical suggestions that your in-laws, your relatives give you when they are visiting, consider those suggestions, and if they're scriptural, follow them. But if they're not scriptural, abandon them for this reason. If you've been coming to Christians to gather in the name of the Lord, you understand that of old, in the old days, we had no certain place to stay, not one man for one meeting. We have no guaranteed salary. We have no high title. And I was telling this to a man who lived in the apartment downstairs. And he said, let me give you some advice. What you need to do is to go out and get a big church that pays a big salary and gives you guarantees your whole life long and then gives you a good retirement. That is what you're supposed to do. And so I think it over now at the age of 73, and I wonder. But what I'm saying is that when he said that, immediately I knew that it was contrary to the Word of God. And so the suggestion he gave, I abandoned. I had one of the most important Baptists in Raleigh, North Carolina. When I was out selling books to try to provide for my household, and I went and spoke to him, he said, son, he said, do you want me to get you a church, to get you a steady income to get security? And I had to say, thank you, thank you. No, because there are some things that people give that are suggestions and they mean well, but if you look at them and follow them, you will be doing contrary to what the Word of God teaches. But in the case of Jethro, he told his son something that was good to do. And Moses did it, and it was in accordance with what God would tell him and teach him at a later time. Now this, you have brothers-in-law who cannot give you practical advice in this sense, but they can give you geographical advice. Moses said to them, look, we don't know the way through the desert. We need you to go with us. We need you to be our eye. And immediately this should come to mind. Why do they need Hobab when they have the pillar of cloud that rises up and goes and stops where it will? Why, they got God to guide them. Not completely for this reason. If you have 1 million people and God says, this is the location, tell me, do you know what's on the top of every mountain? And do you know all that is in the hidden valleys? Of course not. But Hobab would. And some people who are in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I was brought up, if God said, I want you to be there, and then they wanted to know about Raleigh, they would not know the particulars of Raleigh, but I knew them as a boy. If you had come to me and things were as when I was a boy, and you said, I want some cherries, I knew where the cherry trees were. And if you said, I want pomegranates, I knew where the pomegranate tree was. I want apples, I knew where the delicious apple tree was. I want pecans, I knew where they were. I want summer-long grapes. I knew all of these locations, and not one man who was in Raleigh that had been guided there would know these things. But I could give him the particulars. And this evidently is what Moses is saying to Hobab. He said, you come with us and be our eyes. And at first, and this is so sad, because contrast this. Understand that the Midianites are descended from Abraham. After Sarah died, Abraham married Keturah, and you'll find that among his sons, Midian is there. And so the Midianites are descended from Abraham. But what is so sad is that Abraham was called from Ur of the Chaldees, and he left his country and his kindred, and he went where God wanted to go. And now God is telling the children of Israel where to go, and Hobab is invited to go with them. But in contrast to Abraham, he said, I will not go. I will return to my homeland and my kindred. The very thing that Abraham did and departed from his homeland and kindred, Hobab said, I'm going back to my homeland and kindred. But Moses appealed to him again, and evidently he goes. So, just think that some, and I could wish that all were saved, because evidently Reuel and Hobab were, they were followers of the true God. I could wish that all would come along at the invitation and go more deeply according to the way of God, to the place where God would have us, but not all do that. But there are some like Apollos who know the teaching of John the Baptist, but they will be willing to accept the teaching of the complete counsel of God as they go along. And there are some in the world that will go along with us when we say, we know the way of God more perfectly. And so some will go and some will not. But these are some of the things that happen when we visit with our relatives. Time is gone. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for all the experiences of life and the things that will happen to us today, thousands of years separated from what we've read tonight, are similar to the experiences that we shall have today. We thank you for the practical help that our in-laws can give. And we thank you, Father, also for the geographical help that our in-laws can give us. Let us understand that we can learn from all men. But then, our God, let us always be like the Bereans and search the scriptures daily, whether these things are so. So teach us from thy word directly, or from someone that knows the teachings of God from practical experience. And let us do things that will make the people of God content in harmony with your word, and not destroy us in our bodies and minds and dispositions, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.